irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, July 13th. We're back with you live.
We are back.
After we were gone for, a week?
It was like a week.
Yeah, a week or so.
Felt like so long.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, you got an unexpected break.
Yeah, it was nice, though. It was nice. Yeah.
There you go. For me, it was all work, but...
Yeah.
But hey, I'm glad to be working.
I was sleeping in, and every time I woke up, I was like, Sam's probably having a really hard time right now.
But no, it's all good, and I'm glad to be working. And, a lot of people, I think, would like to be in my place, right?
Although
now,
it's like all those months of, like, the pandemic, just being like, I want to work, and then finally you're working, and you're like, it's so much work.
Right.
There's
so much
to do. Yeah. How quickly the tables turn back.
I know, man. I know. It's like we're never happy,
Because
I had
not.
Too much time on my hand before,
I mean, if we were happy, there'd be nothing to complain about.
Exactly. So, and then what would life be like?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do then?
Yeah, I know. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a guest that Jen brought in. And she seems nice already. So we're going to have fun.
That's what the show is about today. We're going to talk about how nice she is.
Yeah, exactly. Shower her with compliments.
Yes.
Stuff, Yeah. So what was your week like? Do you have anything new in your life that you're happy about that you want to share?
I graduate my acting program tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
It's my last day. It's the whole reason I moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah. How long did that take for you?
It's been 2 years.
3 years that you've been going there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 years.
So you must be excited, huh? You're probably going to miss it, right?
I mean,
it's
gonna
been
miss
part
it.
Of your life.
I've got senioritis, but I also miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senioritis.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that since high school.
I know, right? It's true, though. It's like we have so many rehearsals and, with the pandemic and stuff, we were obviously the first class to ever, do Zoom online classes. But it's been really interesting because back in the day, we used to have to drive to each other's houses or meet at a mutual place to rehearse. And
right.
Now thinking about having to do that is quite crazy. And just having rehearsals on Zoom has been such a time saver,
Yeah. I would hate it, though.
It's not as bad as you think. It's really
it is.
Well,
I'm tired of Zoom stuff.
In the acting world, when you think in the beginning, when we thought about bringing class back, we were all a little reluctant. We were like, I don't know, are we going to get like our money's worth kind of thing? Is this going to be the kind of education that we really want to have? But once we started, we realized that like you can really do so much with that screen. And it also helps because now auditions... No one's really auditioning in person anymore. Mm. People are just doing self-tapes. So you have even more practice now working in your space, working within the frame, working with, all of those same tools. So it's been helpful in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty shitty in my book, though, because I want to see everything going back to normal. And Zoom is not normal. But hey, that's your guys' thing, I mean,
if you think about it, though, if you have two auditions in a day driving around to L.A., that's your whole day.
Yeah, but that's part of it. You meet people, things like that.
I know, but it would be nice to be able to do a self-tape, send it off. Not only do you get to send it off and then go back to work and finish your work day or whatever else you have to do or be able to tackle more auditions, but now the casting directors and whoever else is watching the auditions can... go ahead and watch that and be done with it.
Right. But they don't get the essence of you. When you come in, they see you, your presence, whether you're nice or not, and it doesn't happen now. So I don't know. I miss the human touch, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I miss the human touch too, but I also like really like, what's the word for it? Efficiency.
Efficient, yeah.
Yeah. I like time efficiency.
Yeah. Okay. I know, you got a whole corporation to run, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You need to sort out your time.
I mean, life pretty much is like running a corporation. Yeah. It's really hard to manage yourself, all right?
That's true. But, you know, now suddenly I don't have time for shit. And that sucks, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a therapist and I wanted face-to-face. But now I'm busy. I don't have any time to go. So yeah. She says, well, you know, people still doing virtual and all that stuff. So there's not that many people doing face-to-face yet. And I'm going, enough of this virtual already, you know.
I mean,
but it's not going away, you know. I mean, it's like I wanted to bring this up that I guess the CDC said that schools should go back and, you know, without masks for people that are vaccinated.
Sure.
But California decided to have everybody wear masks in school regardless, and even in this heat, you know. So whatever, man. I just, you know, the teachers union, however, the National Teachers Union, you know, praises the mask thing of not wearing it, you know. So we'll see what happens, you
they
know.
They praise, I mean, not wearing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, it's great to not have to wear it. It feels a little weird, yeah. Right. But, you know, I mean, I got a massage the other day, and they were like, you have to wear one to come in here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, well, you know, if I just respect the business owner and whatever their decision is.
Yeah, when you go to a business and stuff, you know, they can do whatever they want, you know. But I've noticed that ever since June 15th, that's when they opened up, right?
Yeah.
So since then, I haven't really had to wear a mask anywhere.
No, they did suggest that we do with the new Delta variant,
stores,
but
yeah,
whatever.
I know. So anyway, let's bring in our guest rather than continue with the bullshit. And because I don't want to talk about this virus anymore, man. My life has to go on.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest to us?
Okay, so this is Joe Della Pina.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Get close to the mic or pull it towards you or whatever.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So a really good friend of mine, Leisha Papadopoulos, was taking this awesome one-woman show course. Mm-hmm. It's at Berg
Studios.
Yeah, yep. Berg Studios, yeah. And so when they had their performance, it was a Zoom performance, actually. So funny enough, we're talking about all of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I saw Joe's and hers, like, the funniest thing. I was watching it with my really good friend and my roommate, and we, like, on the floor dying laughing.
Oh,
yeah, we were, like, we really kind of, like, shit our pants about it. It was really great.
Really?
So she
That's
did
what
this.
I was going for.
So you're a funny woman then, huh?
It's a mix of... There should be some comedy, but there's some tragic shit, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely say whatever.
In the same show, there's the tragic and the funny.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting. What kind of a show is that?
Well, it is a one-woman show. This class was amazing. The instructor's name, Ann Noble, and she just knows how to help a person tell a story in a way that other people will want to watch it and be compelling.
Right.
So it's just a story of a woman's search through her life to figure out who she is. And I know that sounds like, yeah, I've heard that before. But I'm hoping it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. Like I said, there's some funny parts, there's some sad parts, and you'll see what
happens. So this is really about your life, right? You're not making it up?
Yes,
or
but some of it's made up. I mean, I took artistic license.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, there's some stories that absolutely did happen. Like, for example, I really did... watch Rock and Roll High School at the age of 10 and fall in love with the Ramones. So I tell that story. But then I also mention in that story, my parents hate hippies. That's not true. They never hated hippies. I just threw that in there because I thought it was a funny line.
Right.
So you'll see, you know, watch the show, hopefully, and you'll see that some of it is true. I actually put it on the program. Some of this is true. Some of this is bullshit. And some of it's a mix.
Right. So you have to reveal quite a bit about your life. Are you comfortable with it?
That is a great question. And you mentioned therapy. You mentioned therapy a few minutes ago. And before I came in here, I was sitting in my car on Zoom with my therapist.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
I recommend everybody has one. You
know? Totally.
All humans.
I saw a meme that says, I go to therapy to deal with all the people in my life who are not in therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
So true. Oh, my God. That's too true.
Mm.
I do. I think all people need it. And so, yes, I talked to my therapist and got to a place. You don't ever want to have therapy on stage. That's a bad idea. If you haven't worked through it and you're still traumatized by it, it's not going to be entertaining. It's going to be devastating and it's uncomfortable.
So you don't want to bring up those issues at all.
You can bring them up, but you have to have worked through them already. You That's have to see, know where you are and be comfortable with it. So yeah, there are some things in there, like my parents' divorce, which sounds like everybody's parents get divorced. But I was a kid and it was painful.
It was traumatic.
I talk about that. I talk about it in the show, but and it's not a fun part of the show. It's a shitty part of the show.
Right.
But I am totally okay with it at this point. But yes, it was a little bit hard just laying out my whole life in front of the world. But I've always sort of been an open book.
And what I loved is that you talk about it from the perspective that of you were kind of dressed as that age.
Yes.
Which is what I loved, like the pigtails or however it was. Yeah, I thought it was great. And then she would change a little bit about her wardrobe or whatever and go for it again.
I'm glad you like that. I was, you know, I was hoping that that would land.
So it landed.
I say, I'm 5 years old and I've got pigtails. And then I tell a story and then I leave the stage for just a second, come back. I'm 10 years old and I've got a different thing. And it goes all the way from 5, 10, 16, all the way up to 50.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I love that. So I want to know, I'm an actor too. Yeah. So I always love to know people's process in creating something like this. Mm-hmm. So like you, when you sat down, did you already have an idea of what you wanted to do or did more things come up? Like how was that process?
Yeah, I feel a little bit like a hack because over 10 years ago, one day I had an idea. It just really rushed into my head, right down like how you felt throughout your ages, you know, since you were 5, since you were 10. And I just started writing it down. And then I milked that story for the next 10 years. I wrote, I published it as a little short, you know, a short book of essays on Amazon. And I did it at a storytelling event. And then when I took the solo show, I was like, I could turn this into something really interesting. I will say this, when I read the story at a storytelling event, it was fine. It got the, you know, requisite applause, but I don't feel like I moved anybody. Mm-hmm. It was like, that was nice, thanks. And I thought, I could make this into something that moves people.
Right.
So that story turned into this solo show. So then that requires a whole new process of how do I make this emotional? How do I make people relate to this? One of the things I did was I spent time with my 3-year-old niece, my 10-year-old niece, because I want to know how 3-year-olds and 10-year-olds talk, because that's how I... You know, I'm portraying myself as not 3, but 5 and 10. And so they say things like, yeah, that's cool. You know, so, that's so cool. So I say that. So that was a simple part of the process. But the rest of it is just every age. What was my goal for that age? Was I trying to be cool? Was I trying to brag? Was I trying to protect somebody? So I think about that for each age and what I'm trying to say. My brilliant, brilliant director, Carol Becker, she knows she's so great at comedy and she sees these amazing moments. I told her the other day, she feels like to me like a sculptor. She's got this chunk in front of her and she says, here's what you can do. And she says to me each time, who are you telling the story to and what are you trying to get to across to them and what do you want them to feel? And that really helped me.
Right.
So I'm trying to make people feel something, relate to it, go, yeah, that happened to me too. Or if they don't, at least, you know, feel for me. Feel for the character.
It's a point of understanding.
I know why she did that. The show is called Boy Crazy Psycho Slut. So if somebody
pretty much describes it.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of hoping that title would catch some attention. But a lot of times women get called psycho. Oh, she's psycho. Especially, oh, my ex-girlfriend is psycho.
That's a red flag in dating for me. If someone starts talking about their ex as if she's a crazy psycho, I'm like... So what exactly was your part in this?
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way she was all the way psycho. There's something else going on there.
Yeah, it's like you were talented enough to bring it out in her.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that.
I was normal when we started, and now I'm psycho. Yeah, but that's exactly what I wanted people to understand. Maybe she's not psycho. Maybe she had a good point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So someone called me psycho. I'm going to tell you the story of how that happened, and maybe you'll see my perspective, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
I love that. So, maybe she's not psycho. She just had a good point.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that. We need that
she was on
a bumper sticker. Seriously.
And maybe she wasn't boy crazy and maybe she wasn't a slut. Or maybe she is and she's happy about it, you know?
Yeah, also who cares?
Right, who cares?
You know? Let's all just live our lives.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree.
So now, did this show start or are you still... preparing no. for it.
Oh my God, I'm in the middle of preparing and I am losing my mind because I'm like, is anyone going to be ready for this? Because if
that's a lot of pressure. It's you know, for one person.
One person. I can't blame anybody else if this goes wrong. This is all me.
How did this come about, though? I mean, who gave Hollywood the idea?
Fringe. It was the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Fringe. It's wonderful. It's just an independent play festival. So you theater festival. I don't exactly know how they describe it, but that's how I describe it. For years, I've been going to this thing. Obviously, they didn't have it last year. Thanks, pandemic. But before that, you would just go up to Hollywood all week long and see plays, one after another after another. And they're all, like, pretty short, and they're all inexpensive. And you're not going to see a Neil Simon play. You're going to see a play by, you know, Joe Delpina or somebody who just wrote their own little thing. It was so much fun. And I always dreamt of doing one. I want to do a play in Fringe. And this was my chance. So I jumped on it, and it opens... Well, the preview is August 9th, which is a Monday.
What did it take for them to accept you and your proposal? You probably had a proposal for a show, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And so how did that happen?
Yeah, you pay $175 and you're in.
Yeah, you're in. Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah, it's good to know, yeah.
Yeah, but they give you a platform, you know?
Yeah, they do.
It's really worth
it. They do
it.
A beautiful job. They help you promote. They hook you up with theaters. They hook you up with, like, if you need directors, producers, a cast, all that. But, you know, thankfully, I only needed a director. And it's really a very great organization. Like, you feel a community with the Hollywood Fringe. They call it Friendships. So I made some friendships.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
But you don't have to be like, you know, there's no jury selection or anything. You just submit your play and you do it. Now, if you want to, you can submit to win an award. And if you win an award, you get to do one more show. You get to do a encore.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll see about that. Who knows?
Yeah.
So how many times will you perform during Fringe Fest?
So each person who, you know, submits their show, you can choose, but you also pay for the theater. Mm. So since I'm brand new to the, you know, theater world, not really brand new to the theater world, brand new to the Fringe and the Hollywood theater community, I didn't think I should do it over and over and over. Plus, I didn't want to spend tons and tons of money. So I'm doing it three times.
Okay, great.
Yeah, three times, Monday the 9th. That's Monday the 9th is the press preview. So I'm really
the 9th of what, August?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, August. This all starts in August. The Fringe goes from like the 1st to the, I don't know the dates. I'm sorry, but it's in August. It's most of the month of August. And they encourage you to invite the press, and they send you a long list of press outlets. So hopefully they'll come and get a review.
Yeah.
Oh,
then they'll say,
yeah,
I liked it. This is great. And so then the actual dates are 20th and 28th of August.
Right.
People will come. I'm hoping.
Oh, I see. Okay. So the first one is not for the public.
Oh, no. Absolutely it is. It is. But the press hopefully will show up too.
Yeah. So you won't know. You'll just see people in the audience.
Right. And I'm hoping that, like, some of my friends will come and laugh real hard, so the press will be like, whoa, people like this.
I know. You know. I'll probably come with Leisha.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Listen, you're doing something very courageous, I think, you know, and you're exposing yourself really in many ways. And, yeah, I mean, you're putting yourself out there and, you know, you can, you don't know what to expect.
I really don't.
Yeah. And but I commend you for that. I mean, that's amazing. I don't know that I could do a one-person show. You know, it's hard.
Take the class. You'll probably be dying to do it after you take this class.
Really?
Yeah, like I said, Ann Noble at Berg Studios is so encouraging. And so she finds something brilliant about every person's story, and she'll help you milk that. So, yeah, I'll see your Fringe show next year.
Yeah,
I actually work with her once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I started coaching with her maybe a month ago, and she's...
Is she brilliant?
Yeah. I told her last week that I wanted to drink her brain.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
It's incredible. She, like, I forget, we were talking about
drink
a scene.
Drink her brain, suck it out.
Yeah. We were talking about a scene that I was doing for class, and she just, like, broke it down in this, like, incredible way. We're doing Spoon River, so it's got this, like, really beautiful, complicated language if you don't know what you're looking for, and she just broke it down in a way, and... exploded my brain.
Would you want to do that too? Could you do like a one-person show?
I was going to, but they didn't have enough spot. Well, they didn't have enough people to sign up for the class, so they ended up not doing it this next round.
Right.
But I've actually been planning on one kind of, about my New York journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm fired up about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, everybody's got a story, you know. It's just a question of, can you tell it in a way that people want to hear and stay the whole show, you know.
Exactly.
And so you've had an interesting life, would you say?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you get to go through it now, so.
I mean, I approach life like, I mean, I know this is a trite saying, but you only live once, so you should do as much fun shit as you possibly can. You should jam in everything. I've always been like, go, 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 one thing after another, never stop, you know, constantly finding some new pursuit, traveling. Like, I chase Paul McCartney around the world.
Really?
Yeah, I love him. So wherever he's going, I'm like, I'm going to go there too.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous way of to spend money, but I love him.
That's your next one-woman show.
Maybe it will be.
Call it Chasing Paul McCartney.
He is in this show too, so come check that out. Of course I'm going to mention him in this show. Yeah, so I mean, I never ever want to stop, and so I feel like, yeah, maybe somebody else will get inspired and say, I want to, you know, have some wild adventures too. I want to do some crazy, stupid stuff.
Right.
We'll see.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania, which is this little teeny tiny dot of a town on the West Virginia border. But then my family migrated to Kentucky. So I always say I'm from Pennsylvania.
That's fair.
So sort of from both, yeah. But I also did live in New York City.
Okay, great.
Hell's Kitchen. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to my best friend, Katie, who lives in Atlanta. And I've been in Marina Del Rey for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
So this is home. Yeah.
Wow. Very nice. Did you say you were 50 before?
No, I didn't say that.
You said like...
In the show.
In the show. That's what I'm saying. You don't look even close to 50.
Thanks. I mean, yeah, I get that all the time. Life. No, I'm just kidding.
No, really?
So in the show,
when
I
you say
go,
23 years in the marina, I'm like trying to do the math.
I forgot to edit that. Yeah, I like to drop 10 years off my age so people don't really know. When I wrote the show, honestly... It was supposed to be from my past, from age 5 all the way up to 50, and 50 was supposed to be the future.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was supposed to be like, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Well, God dang, it took so long. Now I am 50. And, it's not the future, but you know what? It's still in the show. It's a little bit of a fantasy. Right. You know, it's like, I'm not putting a stake in the ground of what happened at age 50. You'll see.
Right. Do you reveal some private things, or you try not to?
No, I would say that I do, and they're... there are a couple of parts that I worked harder to be uncomfortable with. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Like I mentioned, when my parents got divorced, it was not easy. Not just for the kids. It was really brutal for my parents. And when I'm telling that part of the story, I'm thinking, oh my God, am I betraying like my family's trust?
Yeah.
But I justify it because A, it's my story, right? I'm telling it from my perspective. And B, I want people to be able to talk openly about anything, you know?
Right.
I want them to be able to say, my family had that too, or I relate to that. So,
That's what people relate to, you know? I mean, if you bullshit them, they'll know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Anne says it all the time. You have to be honest. Honesty is 100% of acting, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, I didn't want to leave out this critical part.
Right.
There are people that are in this show. They're either, like, some characters are actually real characters of people I know. Mm. And some of them are amalgamations of people I know. Mm. And some people might watch the show and go, I think that might be me, right? And you know what? Some people might be annoyed or offended. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, I guess.
Right.
It's my story. Exactly. I'm telling it from my perspective. They'll like it or they won't. And I certainly didn't mean any offense to anybody. I'm just telling the truth.
They should be happy that they were inspiring.
That they meant that much to me to get into the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Did you go to college?
I did. Where I went to bunches of colleges.
Really?
No. I went to University of Kentucky, where my family lives. And then I went to graduate school at Emory University in Atlanta, where I got my MBA. Has nothing to do with acting. Yeah. But I acted like I, you know, knew what I was doing. MBA school was really hard.
It is, but at least it's worth something, you know.
Yeah,
worth something. You can do something with it.
I can. Well, you know, so it led me to my career in advertising. I work in an ad agency.
Oh.
And that's my day job, and I do love it. But I wanted to be an actor since I was 5 years old.
Really?
I just all I wanted to do, and I never pursued it like seriously until, you know, about 7 years ago. I'm like, what am I waiting for?
Right, exactly.
So I jumped in.
But yeah, you decided to follow it. I mean, it's pretty cool, you know?
I think so. I hope so. I mean, yeah, if this doesn't become a career, that's all right. I'm enjoying doing it, you know?
Right.
I certainly would love to make money doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm having a great time just
that's good.
Telling stories.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, everybody would like to make money at what they do, but you're also in a town where everybody's trying to do the same thing, you know? And it's like sort of like get in line, you know? And so you really have to believe in yourself, to work hard, and be satisfied no matter what happens, you know, because if you only do this if you know you're going to succeed, you're probably not going to do it, you know. So you got to pursue your what you believe in, you know. Yes. And then if it's in the cards for you, then it is. If it's not, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
But some people don't even try, you know, and that's sad.
This I 100% agree with that. I appreciate it, and it's why this is kind of funny. I do not set goals. I know that that's an important thing for a lot of people.
And right. I don't either.
I go, you know what? I'm going to go with the flow, see what happens. Exactly. And then that way I'm not disappointed if I don't reach it.
Right.
I'm just going to enjoy it. Just going to enjoy the ride. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. You know, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be doing half the things that we do, you know.
It's true.
If we thought, you know, we'd succeed for sure or make a lot of money at it and stuff, we'd say, oh, no, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Like I did, you know, about acting and stuff, because I was thinking about it early on in my life, and then I thought, nah, you know.
Nah, you can still do it.
I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, you can still do it.
I know, but,
you know,
but I don't like the odds.
Every single acting class I have ever taken, every single one, there are people who are 19 years old, and there are people who are 70 and right, everything in between.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
No, I mean, there's room in parts for everybody, you know, yeah, roles and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it, but, you know, you do what you can, you know. I wanted to be a rock star, too, like everybody else does when
yes,
they're
we
young.
Do.
You
we
know?
Do. Yeah, same.
And especially guys that play electric guitars and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, at 15, I'm like, yeah, you know, I can be a rocker.
It's
but,
so fun.
Yeah.
I find that, like, you know, as many day jobs and like odd jobs as I do that I don't want to do, as long as I'm doing some acting and what I like to do in between, it makes everything else bearable.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, your creative pursuit. You have to have your creative outlet. I get it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, for sure. You know.
So what was it like for you emotionally when you pitched this to the class for the first time?
The first time was hard.
Yeah.
The first time was like, oh my God, I should even say the first time. It was the first 15 times.
Yeah.
I kept saying, does anybody want to listen to this? Is this boring? Who cares? It's just another middle-aged lady talking about the guys that in her life, you know? So it was really important to me to make it entertaining, to make it not the same old, same old. During the class, I went and I watched a series of other solo shows. And they were all good. I didn't see any that I thought were a total dud. But one of them was actually very, very good. But she was talking about the exact same things that I was. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm not doing this. Why should I do this? At one point, she even said, I am 17 years old. I'm like, no, that's my little technique. You know, no. But her story's her story. My story's mine. So I'm hoping it'll still be interesting. And like I said, I've got this great director who's making it funnier at every turn and making it more visually interesting. And I've got a good friend, Larry, who's helping me design this beautiful graphic that is meaningful to the show. So I'm hoping that's going to just be more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have supportive people around you.
Oh, thank God. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that helps. It's hard to do anything by yourself, you know.
It's really great to push past somebody else having a similar idea.
Yeah.
That can be such a kick to the gut,
dude. I mean,
but
that,
it's true.
That almost made me drop the whole thing. I thought, but like I said, I kept questioning from the very start. Who wants to hear just another white lady talking about her troubles? Shut up, right? Just shut up. But then I just kept tweaking and tweaking and tweaking until I felt like, no, this is gonna touch people. This is gonna move people. And then after many, many, many iterations and rehearsals and practices and edits with my solo class, I finally did the whole thing. And when I looked at the Zoom, like at least three people were crying. And I was like, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, now, when we're in the solo class for over a year, this is a really tight community at this point. Mm-hmm. We really care about each other. We know each other. I highly recommend anybody to get into a class like that where you know, it's like an artistic community. And I love it. So that's probably why some of them were crying, because they saw the fruits of this labor after so much time.
Right.
But I'm hoping that maybe some, you know, new people will come to the show and also get moved. Yeah. I'm not out there like, I hope I make people cry. But kind of.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you want to evoke emotion. I mean, you work hard to do it.
That's
you know?
It.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do as an actor is have an emotional scene and everyone's laughing or doing anything. Like, everyone's just like cricket.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the crickets would be brutal. The crickets would be brutal. I got to tell you guys something else that's kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
So like I said, I am not known in the, you know, Los Angeles theater world. And I've never done a Fringe show before. But here I am like thinking I'm a big shot. So I go up and I toured some theaters to decide which one I wanted to use. And I get to the Hudson Theater. And they show me, it's called the Hudson Guild, and it is a tiny room with 30 seats, and it's adorable. And the seats are, you know, on a incline, so perfect view. I'm like, this is great. This is perfect. Since I'm brand new,
right,
I'll take this 30-seat theater. And it's also half the price of the next room that he shows me, which is called the Hudson Backstage. But when I walked in, I went, oh, this place is beautiful. Mm. Like, immediately I could see myself on that stage.
I just got goosebumps.
Thank you for understanding.
Yeah.
99 seats. And I'm like, and the guy, his name is Zeke. He's so helpful. He's wonderful. He's trying to gently say, well, you know, it's hard to fill all these seats at the Fringe. Right. You know, you might want to, and really trying to encourage me to get the smaller theater for a newbie like me.
Right.
I thought about it a lot. Probably like 2 weeks, and finally said, I can't quit you backstage. And I went with the backstage. So 99 seats, I have to fill three times. I just don't know if it's ever possible to sell that many seats, but I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Look, whatever it is, it is.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it just is.
And it's, you know, at this point in the game, it might be quality over quantity.
I'm hoping. Yeah. You know? I'm hoping I get, you know, if I get seven people who are laughing hard, that'll be fine.
Right.
I mean, it'll be a financial loss, but that's okay.
But you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared, you know, and not be disappointed if you can't fill that, because that's a tall order to fill 100 seats.
I
know.
Three times.
It's an investment.
Yeah, three times, you know. And, yeah.
But I think you can do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This will help, right?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I don't know.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm going to be promoting like crazy. And
yeah, you got to.
Like you said, the title, I'm hoping the title will get some people to go, what is this about? I need to go see this. Boy Crazy Psycho Slut. I need to see this.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, I mean, theater lovers probably are the ones that go there anyway, right?
Yeah, the Fringe is full of just people who love theater. So
right.
Bounce around from theater to theater.
Exactly. And I don't think they look necessarily for famous people.
No.
They just want to see good shows, you know?
So is Fringe like a one-day cost and then you can go to as many theaters as you want? How does that work?
No, that'd be great. But no, it's each production is its own ticket. But because it's Fringe, the tickets are anywhere from like pay what you can to 20, you know, they're never, maybe a little more, but my ticket's $12, you know, it's not a lot. So that's why it's sort of doable to bounce around to a bunch of shows, you know, at once. And they're all, I think on the weekends or even in the afternoon, you know, like 2 p.m, my shows are all at 8:30.
Right.
Which was another thing. I thought I was being smart. Oh, Friday and Saturday at 8:30. That's prime theater time. Perfect. People will be out. But then I learned some of the bigger productions that are with more well-known actors, that's going to have the same date, the same time, at 8:30 on a Friday. So now I'm competing against, like, you know, better shows. I shouldn't say better shows, but better productions and bigger productions. I'm like, shit. So, yeah.
But maybe it's not the same audience, you know, that
true.
Would come to your show.
That's true.
You know.
You're right. Somebody who wants to see a show called Boy Crazy Psycho Slut probably is not as interested in Julius Caesar. I don't know. I'll tell you another selling point is that there's a cafe in my theater. So,
cool.
Come on over.
Where is the theater?
It's right in what they call Theater Row on Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit more west of the cemetery. and it's diagonal from the Complex Theaters, which is like the heart of Fringe. There's so many shows going on at the Complex, but it's just across the street.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's really
exciting. And they're going to have valet, too.
Oh, great. I love that.
Which is really important.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, that's very exciting, you know. I mean, it's like there's a lot of emotions involved in here, you know.
Yeah.
For you to do something like this, you know.
Got that right.
But also, you know, it's not just a question of if you're going to sell enough tickets. It's like who's going to be there, you know. And you might have, you know, there's always, you know, people that look for new talent, you know, in this town. And maybe, you know, maybe there'll be somebody. You never know. But you got to take those chances, you know. I mean, I know that in comedy, I know a couple people for sure that they were offered things after they were just at the Comedy Store or something, you know. Because people do go there and try to recruit, you know, because... Well.
It's
yeah.
100%. I would be lying if I said that I didn't think about maybe an agent will show up, right? Maybe maybe a manager will show up. Of course, I'm really hoping that that will be the outcome of this. I've been looking for an agent for a while, but I don't have a lot of IMDb credits. You know, I don't have any like network television experience. I'm just sort of like bouncing around in the junior leagues. So I'm hoping that someone will see me and say, hey, I could work with this.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So now your preference is theater, or would you want to be in film, TV?
I love TV. I love film. Yeah. Yeah, I've done, oh my gosh, I don't know, 40 films over the years, but they're almost all student films, a few independent films.
Right.
You know, a couple friends made a film. They're all good. Well, not all of them. Some of them were crap. But
comes with the territory.
You know, you get it. Yeah. Like the student films are really hit or miss. There was one that was... The best thing on my entire reel was the student film I did called Happy Birthday, Harold. It's beautiful. But other ones, yeah, whatever. It's just that I'm not getting known. I'm not getting, you know, my name out there, whatever. But eventually.
It's hard. I'm telling you, Joe. It's not easy. You're competing with millions of people, you know.
I mean,
to get your name out there to be known, you know. I mean, look at some of the actors that are like, let's say, they get smaller roles. They do get like good movies, but smaller roles.
Mm.
And I'm sure they want to break through and become really like big stars.
Sure.
And they don't, you know. So you never know at what point you're going to be. But, you know, but it's hard. I mean, you really picked a challenging career. And so did you.
Yeah.
But it's more like, for me, if I get a small part in a big movie, that would be amazing.
Right.
That'd be enough. I don't need to be the big star. I am probably too old to be the big star. I'm probably, you know, not, I don't know, glamorous enough. I don't care. I'm happy to be a character actor. I'm happy to just go on a set. I love to be on a set. It's just such a fun...
Yeah, it's about exercising the instrument.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the negative about it is you sit around and wait a lot before it's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what actor it was that said, they don't pay me to act, they pay me to wait. And I get it. You just sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait. But when you finally see your moment, it just is the best. It's the best feeling, and you get to do it.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know the book that Jenna Fischer wrote?
Mm-mm.
So Jenna Fischer, who was the Pam on The Office, she wrote a book, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called So You Want to Be an Actor or something like that. It had the most perfectly practical advice, and she said the same thing. She did some weird-ass show that she didn't think anybody would even come to, and an agent came up to her afterwards and said, I thought that was weird. I really like you. That was her first agent, and that's how she got her start.
Wow.
She talks about
so
doing
happen,
background
you know?
Work. Yeah. A lot of people do background, and she did a lot of background before she started.
So much background.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Background work is rough.
Ugh.
I mean, it's rough.
At least you get paid for the day, and you know you're going to get paid and fed.
Paid and fed, but also you're like subject to like, I don't know if you've ever been around a bunch of extras, especially when it's like a big set. There's like 50 extras. Ugh. It's a wild crowd.
Really?
It's a very wild
ridiculous.
Crowd.
It's crazy. It's, sometimes physically punishing, like you have to stand for the next 8 hours and no, you cannot sit down. Once I did something out in the mountains, it was absolutely freezing, but the scene was supposed to be the summer, so we're sitting there in our shorts. I was dying. But I'll tell you one cool one. I went to the Forum to be a crowd, you know, a concert crowd. There was only a tiny group of us, but it looked like a crowd. Right. And it was for that movie Pop Star with Andy Samberg. And I was supposed to look shocked when he steps out on stage naked. And so I look shocked. And they put me in the trailer for the movie. Where I'm going, which was super cool. But at the same time, I got pizza. I didn't get paid. You know, I got pizza and that was it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, my first gig in L.A. when I moved here was an extra on the show The Doctors. I was a paid audience member.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a very, very, very low rate. Very low rate. And then they fed us pizza on the street on the hood of someone's car. It was like Little Caesars or something. I was like, I'm from the East Coast. We don't eat Little Caesars.
I'm not eating this.
Yeah.
Sliced into tiny little squares. Yeah. No thanks. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that pop star gig they served as Papa John's, and I was like, oh no. Yeah. No.
People on this coast know nothing about pizza.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, I suppose. I don't know. There's some Italians here that make good pizza.
It's not the same.
I'm 100% Italian.
Yeah, I figured from the name. Yeah.
South Yankee, that's right. Yeah. Delapina.
Yeah.
Forgot.
Right.
She has to remind herself.
Oh, yeah. I'm Italian. Yeah. But no. I'm picky about pizza, too.
Yeah. But anyway, like, I really do think that it really helps to just be as uniquely yourself as possible. I think that's really the only way. I think a lot of people are trying to conform and trying to be, you know, like glamorous or like come off like a Bella Hadid or come off like, you know, Margot Robbie, or just be this like perfect image of what they think Hollywood wants them to be. And I think especially nowadays, Hollywood's really taking a turn for the weird in a positive way as far as picking actors and picking content is concerned. And I think we're just going in a different direction. So I think the underdog is reigning supreme.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that's super interesting. And I love that is a trend. And I find it really interesting that one of the best pieces of advice to an actor is be yourself, because you're supposed to be being someone else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But your point is, like, don't try to pretend that you are some glamour queen when you are the perfect suburban mom, you know,
right,
or you know, the nerdy scientist. Be that. Be great at it. Be the best one at that. So
right.
It took me a while to put those things together. Be yourself while being somebody else.
Right.
But that's it. Like, you have
to. Yeah, you got to at least accept who you are, you know. And,
yeah.
And not try, like you said, fit into a mold who's not you, you know, and it'll work for you.
And
you
it's you got to find your version of what you think that character is, not what you think somebody else, like, I'm never going to play a part how Margot Robbie would play a part. Like, I'm going to be a totally different human being than that, for sure.
Well, that's how life is, you know. Not everybody's the same. You know?
I mean, I would love to be Wonder Woman, but they haven't called, so.
Yeah, right? Same.
It's not happening.
It's amazing, you know. I mean, think about it. You know, they probably interviewed, you think, hundreds of candidates for the role, or...
Probably a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Because she was an unknown before, right?
Mm. Yeah, I Gal think so. Gadot. She'd only been in a few things.
Yeah, a couple
her
of
IMDb
small
is
things.
Sparse, yeah.
Right, but nobody really knew her before.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's always a chance that you're going to get a role, you know? I mean, they don't always look for Wonder Woman. I mean, and you don't always want to go for these parts, you know?
Yeah.
So when there's a part that you know you can play...
Yeah,
You should definitely go for it, you know, and try.
Yeah, there's so many times I watch a show and I think, God, I wish I had that role. I would have been great in that role.
I know.
You know, sometimes it's the same actor over and over. I'm like, oh, man, she keeps taking my roles. I don't even get those auditions. I don't have an agent. But I just think, oh, like, do you know the actress Melanie Lynskey?
Mm-mm.
She's so good. If you saw her, you probably recognize her because she's in a lot of stuff. She's, I guess, not a household name, but really good, really well, you know, just well-rounded.
Oh, yeah, her.
You know her.
She was in Two and a Half Men, and she's been a small part in a lot of different things.
I forgot about
Two and a Half Men. Oh, yeah, Two and a Half Men. Yeah.
And I just think, man, she gets the best roles. I'd love to be that. I'd love to have her career, but she earned it.
Tell me something. Isn't a way to become a little more known is to go on reality shows and stuff? Have you considered that? No?
They won't take you seriously as an actor, I don't think.
Why?
Because...
I mean, I've seen several, at least a couple, but like from Survivor and stuff, you know? Like, remember Elizabeth Hasselhoff, something that was, she was on The View.
Something, exactly.
She was on The View for many years.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing. Like, there's classes in being a host, but that's not the same as acting. Right. You could make a career of that, and that's interesting. And sometimes I think about it because that would be fun. But it's the acting is a whole different thing.
But she got attention. That's what I'm saying, yeah. You know?
But it's not just about the attention. It's about getting the artistic product.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, but people have to know you, you know? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the thing is, once you're labeled as something, it's really hard to do anything else. Like, the woman who played Elvira could not book herself as... She could not get booked as anything else.
Really?
So what she did was, over time, she slowly... had people sign over every, you know, appearance she did, she would have more rights signed over to her. So now she fully owns Elvira and awesome. Can now go perform as Elvira wherever the hell she wants.
Right.
So, you know, if I came as a reality star, the producers like feed you stuff to do. Like, my friend just did a reality show in Costa Rica for 2 months as a producer. And she said the other producers were like feeding these people alcohol and putting them in all these crazy situations. So they're trying to pull out the worst in you, because right. the worst in you is the most dramatic of you, pretty much. And so once people see that, they see you as, like, you're never going to see Snooki, you know, in a film with Leonardo DiCaprio playing a serious role.
Probably
like, she's always just, she's going to be Snooki, this person who is on this reality show Jersey Shore, who did all these crazy things and now is a kid and probably has a makeup or fragrance line coming out.
Yeah, that show didn't really do much for us Italian Americans in the way of possible.
I'm from Jersey. You know, I'm from Jersey. I totally get it.
Thanks, guys.
But wow. Yeah, so there's a difference between wanting to be an actor and being an actor and wanting to be famous.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people come to LA and say they want to be an actor because they want to be famous. They want fame. They want power. But I think most actors would be happy booking... not most actors, but a lot of actors are happy, you know, just making a living, being right. able to live yes. off their what they're doing. I know tons of people who are actors that nobody knows at all, and that's right. all they do. They yep. book, you know, a couple commercials a month. They do a few voiceover gigs in between, and they have consistent work, and they're yeah. happy as a pig and shit.
That's cool.
That'd you be know? Great. Actually, it sounds like the dream. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we are out of time, Joe. Tell people where they can find you, social media, whatever.
Sure. So right now, the best place to go is the HollywoodFringe.org and search for my show, Boy Crazy Psycho Slut. I think it's the only show with that title, so you should be fine. And there you can get tickets, which actually go on sale Friday. And the shows are August 9th, August 20th, and August 28th. And I am on social media as Delapina, just my last name.
Right.
You can find me everywhere as Delapina. Right. But and I will be promoting there too. But Hollywood Fringe is sort of the hub of everything you want to get.
Sounds good. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you a million times for having me. So much fun.
We wish you only the best. You know, you work hard. You deserve success.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best with your show. And everybody, check her out.
Thanks, Joe.
See you at Fringe.
All right, Jen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.